This is Deborah Gordon interviewing Minnie Lowenstein for National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History Project. The date is April 10th, 1992. Could you please state your name?
My name is Minnie Lowenstein.
Thank you. I was going to ask you some questions about your impressions of Pittsburgh, like when you first came here, during your arrival. This would be during the post-war years, and like what agencies existed that helped.
Well, unfortunately, no agency helped me, which I say unfortunately, when you come all broken up. When it's such a pass, you don't have, you know, much help. It's very hard. We came to relatives. I was very fortunate, very happy to have relatives. They were very warm and very nice. But they are not an agency. Morally, they were very good. In fact, there was before holidays, and I was invited to the holidays. It felt so wonderful, so many years not having anybody. But otherwise, it was very hard to start your life with scratch, with absolute nothing. And that, as it was for me, a few months later, my sister arrived. For her, it was much, much harder.
Why is that? Because there was already no room?
And also, we rented a place in Pittsburgh. It was 3 rooms, 2 rooms for us, a kitchen and no bathroom, the toilet and basement. Very filthy, very let down. And the landlady even hesitated whether to rent it to refugees. And in the same 3 rooms, in 2 rooms in the kitchen, my husband's brother came up and played with me. And then my sister and her husband and her child came 3 months later, and we all were in these 2 rooms.
So how many adults we had? 5 adults and, and a child.
5 adults and my son
and
2 children.
And how did manage?
Well, very bad. What can I say?
How many months?
A few months later, my husband started working in Pittsburgh. So we rented a place here in East Hampton. It was also made from 1 room, 2 rooms. In the bathroom, we had to share the 2 other parents.
2 rooms? But at least it was a little better?
It was a little better. But then my husband was very sick. He was working on and off. It was very hard. Then I
mean, as soon as he got a job, then he got sick.
Yeah, he had asthma. He stopped working in the bakery, in the factory. 1 week he worked, and the other week the ambulance was running to the hospital.
That bad? So, was he able to keep his job?
Well, he had to keep it. There was no other way.
But they didn't fire him?
No. He had a hard time to live with an interview. But then he changed the job in the bakery instead of mixing room somewhere where it's not too much dust. So, he suffered a long time. Then later on, he developed ulcers. And I believe the diet from the ulcers somehow cured his asthma.
Really? You mean like milk products?
Yes, I believe so. This what helped him a lot.
So he doesn't have that problem anymore?
Well, now he's gone. leaving then, he thinks maybe he hasn't came back. But miraculous, something like this would happen.
Now you mentioned the union. There was a baker's union he was allowed to join?
Yeah. Well, he had a hard time. Very hard time. He they let him in the union.
Why? Because he wasn't from America?
That's right.
Did they discriminate against Jews or against immigrants?
Well, it was like a Jewish baker. United Baking Company.
United Baking.
So, this was the case. Of course. Anti-Semitism is everywhere.
You think there was discrimination against immigrants? Rather
always. There is no question about it. Each one has to pay their price. Then?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Al.
Hello? Yes, I'm in the middle of it. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Just a minute.
Roseanne, they tell me to keep the tape running, so.
You know, but I want to keep it running. Hello? Hi. Right. Okay, well, I'll do a session and then we'll get together and we'll any particular question.
I knew that when we go to the doctor, they like the tape to run. So so now you're living in the East End and he's working at the United Bakery?
Yeah. Steve and I came here to visit. And my brother-in-law left to New York. And he was there a few weeks and then he came back. He has a lot of problems with me, with mentally sick.
Was he manifesting that?
He's a very intelligent man. He was then to the nation. He was working for both his time. And then put the biggest lab in Pittsburgh, but unfortunately, he was in and out the mental hospital. And with my sister, she went through so much. This is, what can I say? She came with a little boy who was born in Germany, which is next door, Regina White. My brother-in-law at home, he was a vet. If he came, he had no job. I was ignorant not to go to the Federation for help.
Were they giving help at that time?
Yes, everybody except who had the relations and got the papers for the relatives didn't get any help.
Oh, in other words, if you were sponsored by someone, they said you're taking care of.
That's right, and you didn't go to complain to me something. I couldn't think this way. So, for 3-4 months, there was no help for this. She came with this child, penniless. I used to do what I could every Friday to go over there. My husband didn't make much. I could take along the few pieces of bread saved from the bacon, whatever I could. And then I decided whenever I came here, I want to be on my own, to go to school. then I went to the retreat of somebody told me. And I took a loan and I went to beauty school. I couldn't speak. It was very odd. With work I was okay. There were things that the teachers couldn't do it as good as I did.
Where did you learn to speak English? Did you go to school for that? Or
very little. It was very little, yes. For some reason, I was very easy to pick up language. Wherever I came, I never heard the Russian language. In time of war, as we ran to Russia, I learned Russian. And I communicate. I speak fluent. I'm not... I can brag that I'm good, but I can communicate in Russian. I wrote letters to my husband was in the war. And then I was in Germany, I spoke German. I speak seven languages.
Still, you can remember?
Communicate, yes.
Russian, German, what other languages?
English, Romanian, Hungarian, Polish. I never hear the language. My husband is
controlling.
Uzbek, I learned by the theater.
Oh, Uzbek.
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 Yeah. Uzbekistan. You go through it, you can't dream. You can really go through things and live through it. In live and laugh, yeah. The main thing that I sometimes speak in the past, like I am not involved in it, not that it even depresses me.
You're removed from it now.
I'm not removed, I guess, but I'm talking like it didn't happen to me. So this is then I went to school and I had to do customers in the house too. It wasn't easy. Then was 6 days a week. And my first job was Gimbel's. I stopped working there. Can you imagine having a customer who can't hear and I can't speak? I had to talk to her loud. There was but 30 operators and everybody turned their head to see from where this voice comes. But I built up on the clientele. And then there was somebody working in, he went over to work in the Indian Hotel for early years, for the model styling. And he recommended me, and they called me over. And I changed the jobs, I was working for early years. It was very nice. And it took there. I opened my own shop. And this, with the help of this, my son became a doctor. He had a nice, young, nice, happy life. When I see how life goes on and the way I raised my son, I wonder where I got it. He's a wonderful man. And I raised him with very much common sense.
What school did he go to?
The first he was a full grade school. Then he skipped my years, but when he came, he was 7. And then he was a very nice student in the Cuba. Then. And then he started 5. He finished in New York.
NYU.
Yes. And then he went to medical school to Italy, to Bologna.
Does he remember anything from before he came here?
He can't remember much. See, he was 4 years when we left Russia. him. I don't know, I don't remember. I guess I told you the way we crossed the borders from Poland to Czechoslovakia, Czechoslovakia to Austria, from Austria to Germany, and all this we had to do it in the night.
Wait a minute, let me get the sequence. We crossed the border first from
First we arrived to Poland.
And that was real bad, right?
Yeah.
Poland to Czechoslovakia.
Yes, then from Poland to Czechoslovakia. And from Czechoslovakia to Austria. Yeah, and then Germany. I told you the story in Austria, how we were sleeping on the fields and this military bed. The mice were jumping on us, it was cold. But my profession kept me always alive. I went with my son to come with me, where the American soldiers were, and I shaved him. For a shave, I got a candy bar, chocolate bar. Then I sold the chocolate bar, and I got something else for it. Then I started knitting for the war of America. And in the end, we got paid once a month a couple pounds of flour, a pound of Crisco, some sardines, some cans.
So Germany was the last stop before you came
here? Yes.
Did they fly you over?
No, we came by flight boat. But we got 10 days on the water.
10 days on a freight ship?
That's right.
Where was the port left from?
Bremen Harbor.
And then that
General Holbrook was the name of the ship.
You remember General who?
Holbrook.
And that boat came all the way across the ocean?
No.
Yes. Yes.
To New York.
To Ellis Island? New York Harbor.
New York Harbor.
What kind of customs was there at the time? Was there fast?
Well, we didn't have nothing to show.
I mean, they just let you in?
They did check. They did check.
But there wasn't like a holding pattern. That was earlier with the Ellis Island.
Yeah, it was checked. Well, we came, we had all the vaccinations and all this before we came. In Germany. And then from there...
In other words, when you went left in Germany, that was on American vessels, so
yes.
You went...
Yes. Well, we have papers, we didn't just come.
Was it hard getting the papers?
My relatives sent us the papers.
But if you didn't have someone to sponsor you...
Well, other people came there with the Federation sponsor them. They let in VPs, then displaced people, after the war. It wasn't only Jewish people,
right.
It was all kinds of fact. Behind different names, there was plenty of Nazis, and there was plenty of Ukrainians and anti-Semites on the boat.
And what?
On the ship, what we were coming.
Why did they let them? Were they disguised?
Well, they always had it easier to come than...
And why were they leaving? To flee?
Well, to flee. That's right. So
Germany was like a place where a lot of people went to as a step to get back to America.
There was a lot of camps supported from America. UNRWA. Yes.
Mm.
UN or we were waiting there 3.5 years before I could come.
3.5 years.
3.5 years.
So they put you on a waiting list.
And when I got the papers, then it was made through my. Made it, they left him. could be these place people, person German, yes, to come in, but no quotas.
No quotas on the
on the count. Yeah, they let in a certain amount of people, but the problem from it, as I said before, Jews.
So anyone could come, as long as they signed up for it, and then they had a number.
Anyone who had to go through, we had to go through the different angles.
What city did the headquarters of this UNRWA in Germany know? Where would you go? What was the city?
Well, we were in different places.
But they were
there
different.
Was many camps all around. I was in, by Stuttgart.
Stuttgart
was the main city. Was Rautingen was the little town where we were. Kreis Allen.
Your procedure was you want to leave, you go and you sign up and you get your papers.
Oh, we wanted to go. We didn't want to stay there. There was nothing for us to stay.
These boats that they had for you, they were freight ships, but were there private rooms or were there dormitory type rooms?
Dormitory, of course.
Boat. How long did the trip take?
Bandits.
And how many possessions were you allowed to take? A suitcase?
Didn't have much. I didn't want to risk his life to go, but his brother wanted me to go. He didn't want to risk his own. So he sold some bakery that they built their building in a very beautiful building, business, store, apartment. He got Polish money. Million zloty. So he exchanged it for $1,000. The whole property he sold for $1,000. And to come back, he couldn't come. Had a hard time. Was there 3 months waiting, then he can cross the borders. When he came back, he didn't have 700 left. So, he thought I had a goodbye, a few things.
He was lucky to get anything, I guess. The way you told me that people's businesses
I don't know how lucky, maybe. First of all, he is lucky because he came back alive. Because he could have been left there dead somewhere.
So were there any war reparations? Is that what you're talking about? He was able, you go back.
He could go legally there, but on the way back, it was hard to come back, you know, because he left in Germany. So he came, there was people who made papers. And in the night, as we came before, that's the way he crossed the borders.
You had to get new papers?
He crossed the borders.
Did everybody, during the war, it was simple to get new papers and a new identity? Why weren't more people doing it?
There was many criminals who came on false papers.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know, I wasn't interested
mm-hmm. But I mean, even during the war, when they were chasing the Jews?
During the war, I guess, there was things like this that they made for some people who had the money. make something.
So it took him 3 months to get back to Germany.
Right.
But he had a little bit of money.
Yes, he came back with $700. $700 was like the
brought those over on the boat?
Yes, and I brought the tea and coffee stand.
What, did you have to protect your stuff on the boat?
No, no, I brought it legal. I had it in a trunk and they checked.
Mm-hmm.
They checked. Yeah, this was my whole fortune and I didn't have enough money for it, so my brother-in-law lent me $200. So I owed him $200 yet when I came here to pay later, which I did. So this was the journey from Germany when I came to New York. My son found $5 there. Oh, this was big happiness. First time we bought hot dogs. Coming here.
They found it on the street at $5.
Yes, somebody must have had money. It was so folded together. It was hidden. He was the happiest. He found $5.
And then he bought a hot dog.
We bought hot dogs. Yeah, and then we took the train to see my cousin. Spend $50 through the organization, through the federation, to New York, and the district bought the tickets for us to come to Pittsburgh. He's a very nice man. His name is Lucy Joshua. My aunt was very nice. As I said before, we had relatives. It was for us something, but we didn't have a long time. That's all that's left for us to do.
Did you feel safe when you came?
Well, I didn't want to live in Square Hill, and this was the reason. To me, it sounded like a Jewish ghetto. Not being, you know, I was scared. Now I'm really sorry why I didn't live there. It would have been more convenient. It's too late now. So then it was more safer than it's today. In working, maybe a lot of things.
Go back a little bit. When you were born in Transylvania, your parents, Sarah and Laser, is that correct?
Yes.
Jocelyn, is that the
Yes.
Can you remember what life was like as a young girl in Transylvania? I mean,
Yes.
The things that you saw, the type of lifestyle?
Well, we lived. The place in Sequenza. Sepinka in Yiddish. Sopronsa in Hungarian, because it went from hand to hand back to time of war. Before I was born, it belonged to Hungary. After the First World War, the Romanian had possessed it. In the time of war again, the Second World War. Hitler was good-hearted and gave it back to Hungary. In fact, if it wouldn't have been Hungarian, maybe it wouldn't have been killed out all the Jews. Because they, when they asked the Hungarians to give the people, working people, the Hungarians answered all or nothing. And they took out the Jews, even from the mental institutions, if there was, from hospitals, children, in all of them, to the concentration camps.
The Hungarians gave up all their Jews?
Yes. And they were very hard.
But Transylvania, when it wouldn't have, you don't think they were the same mentality? You said sometimes it was hungry, sometimes it was
well,
hungry.
There was a lot of Hungarians. It was the places in Europe, for instance, where we were living, I went to Romanian school and we spoke Romanian. In one side of this town was another little town, they spoke only Hungarian. They couldn't even speak Romanian. It was a walking distance.
And
I mean, you could
so
walk
separate.
A few miles. And then in the other side was another town, they spoke Russian. So that's the way there is places in Europe. The one time they are one time somebody else.
So did the Jews mostly speak Yiddish or they speak Hungarian?
They spoke Yiddish. This is mother language in the house. And then we spoke, I spoke Romanian. But then I went to